I'm Joe Dighton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast or shoot us an email at thegdpodcast@gmail.com. Today, Mike and I will tackle the NHL playoffs, take a look at the Rams and Redskins' upcoming NFL schedules, talk a little Game of Thrones in the pop culture corner, then Mike will update us on some brews and Mike's beer blast. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good, man. It's a fantastic time of year. I was thinking to myself a couple days ago, looking at my little score app that has all the sports scores on it. There's so many different sports going on right now. This is a fantastic time of year.
Yeah, this is probably one of the most, I'd say October, November when hockey and basketball started, this is probably one of the most full sports times of year, absolutely.
Yeah, you just had the Masters, you're in basketball, hockey playoffs, baseball's in full swing. You just had March Madness, fantastic.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love this time of year, so it's been good. And as you mentioned, we're in the midst of the NHL playoffs, but before we get to that, we haven't talked since the end of the regular season, so I need to get your thoughts about the Caps missing the playoffs. But even more so than that, we found out yesterday that the Caps aren't bringing back their GM, and they fired their coach, Oates. For me, I was not surprised by McPhee, just from listening to the local radio after the last few years with the Caps, like everyone wants McPhee out, but I was a little more surprised with Oates, because I didn't really realize what was going on with them had anything to do with coaching. So I know you're closer to the team, so what did you think about both moves?
Yeah, I heard, Oates was just, he didn't know how to handle kind of the Ovechkin situation.
Okay.
He made it, towards the end of the season, he made a couple off-color comments about a couple of the players. So, I don't know, maybe it was a personality conflict. I am a little surprised they fired him, but I figured, once I looked at it and thought about it, I guess they thought, might as well, if you're going to fire the GM, just get a brand new clean slate and try to bring in, a couple new guys to see what they can do. I mean, that's always been the most frustrating thing is the Caps have a good core of talent, but they've just been underutilized for, they made the playoffs for, around 7 years in a row, and I think they won, two or three series, not a lot.
Yeah.
So it's just super depressing and frustrating to watch that. McPhee had multiple times to redo the roster around his talent, and he just seemed to not be able to get the job done. So I really wasn't surprised by that. And then, Oates did okay, I guess, but it seemed like there was some type of personality conflict there, and he just didn't know how to handle the locker room.
Yeah, yes. Now that you bring it up, I remember him calling out Ovechkin for not getting back fast enough on a goal or something like that.
He called out Ovechkin, then he talked about how Halak's head wasn't in the game and he didn't want to play towards the end of the season, which was pretty odd.
That's right, when he's going to play his old team, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So, I really haven't paid really close attention to him this year, because once I realized they weren't going to make the playoffs, I kind of got pretty pissed off and just kind of stopped watching him.
Yeah, I understand.
To think that, just another wasted year is pretty ridiculous.
Sure.
So, they have the talent there. They just need, they need to get a couple defensive guys and, maybe make a big move, get rid of a big star name guy to kind of even out the team, shore up the defense,
Yeah, I think that's what they've been lacking the last few years is the defense. They've got enough guys who can score goals.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't have a name per se, do you have like a style of coach kind of makeup you'd like to see come in with this group of guys?
I don't have a name. I heard the Penguins flopped this, that Bills might be in the mix. A guy like that, I think, would be fine. I think that there needs to be someone that can come in and not coddle Ovechkin and just be, up front with the guys.
Sure.
And somehow, or some way, be able to motivate them to get them fired up. somehow take the magic that the Ward Chimera Bear line has and spread that throughout the team. You know? Blue collar hockey players hit hard, skate hard, get your job done, and not be this coddled Russian superstar mentality.
I think that's right on point, because you can't treat one guy differently than the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to fall in line, and yeah, I think they need someone who can handle that. And it's funny, I don't think they're going to let him go, at least not yet. Part of me wondered if, temperament-wise, I thought Tortorella might be good, but his scheme is, I don't think, would fit the Caps well, but his temperament, I think they could use someone a little bit more like that, who's, you know, like, it wore thin on the Rangers, the whole in-your-face mentality, but I think the Caps could use someone with that temperament a little bit.
Yeah, I think they could use that for a couple of years. Totally agree. Tortorella's personality, his scheme would not work.
Yeah, the whole, but his, like, someone like that, I think, could possibly, you know, light a fire under them.
Definitely someone with Tortorella's temperament, though. That's a great point.
And it's funny, it's almost like they need to combo with the last two Rangers coaches. They need Tortorella's temperament, but then I kind of like what, now that the Rangers have kind of got it under control, though, their coach Vigneault now, his system where it's like, you know, speed to the neutral zone, you know, up-tempo, move the puck, that seems like would be perfect for the Caps, someone who pushes that kind of strategy. Because I remember when I first learned about Oates might be on their way out, was this one article near the end of the season, and they were talking about kind of his strategy. And I know one thing was like with the breakouts, like he's got guys like Green who can move the puck out by themselves, but he wanted to like clear, get the puck, you know, up the boards right away and things like that. It didn't really match what they could do. So I could see.
No, absolutely not. You know, I think, you know, Boudreaux would still be the perfect fit. It just, he lost control of the locker room too. And couldn't get a reaction out of the guys, you know? And it seems like that's always been the case. They eventually will find somebody that can, they can work with the guys right, but they just, it seems like managing that, the personality in their locker room is the toughest part about this team.
Yeah, and that's what, I think that's part of what makes the good coaches the good ones, the ones who, you know, can coach well, but also that managing their relationships and the personalities and everything.
Exactly.
It's kind of like it's a two-way street there. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of good coaches who just couldn't get along with people, and they're the ones who are like, Torrell's a good example. His act wears thin after a few seasons. He's a good coach, but being able to coach well and have a good personality, I think, that meshes well with your players is part of the job, too.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that was some big news coming out of D.C. And
good.
Speaking of D.C. real quick, before I was getting set up here, I saw the Wizards just won. It's weird to see. I was just saying to my girlfriend, it's weird to see a Wizards game on TV with people in the stadium.
Yeah, who would have thought the Wizards would make the playoffs and the Caps would?
It actually
looks like going to win their first series.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
That really is. I was like shocked just that they made it. And like, yeah, because I mean, that could have been a really great spring at the Verizon Center if the Caps had made it too. If they both, because I think it's been a while since they were both in the playoffs at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was pretty wild. But yeah, back with the hockey, you know, we've had some good series thus far. Has anything kind of surprised you with the first round, or are things kind of running the way you thought they might?
Definitely surprised. I think there's a lot of really close matches. You know, I thought Tampa Bay was pretty good. I didn't think the Canadians would blow them out.
Yeah, I didn't think that would be four games either, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, I thought the Pens, you know, had a chance to kind of close it out quick, but pretty much every other series is at 3-2 or 2, you know, at 3-2. So it's been really, really tight and exciting. You know, it looked like the Sharks were going to blow it out of the water, and now it's back to a good series.
Yeah.
All the other ones are really, really close. So I think it's been awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you mentioned the Sharks-Kings. I know the Sharks won the first three games, and the Kings have won the last two. And I think to even have a shot at trying to come back from down 0-3, you got to have a good goalie, and the Kings have quick. So they have a shot. They have a shot every game.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I think so. So I'm glad to see that's getting closer. The Blues and Blackhawks just been nasty.
It's just been a hell of a series.
it's just been. I hope that one does go seven, because that's just been, you know, good stuff all the way around.
Oh, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, And yeah, I was, when I was going through like my first round picks, I kind of thought the Penguins would probably win in like five games. Mm-hmm. But I think it's been the kind of same old story that Fleury is just like their Achilles heel.
He's unbelievable, man. Hopefully lights out for a couple games and all of a sudden just make boneheaded mistakes. And you're like, how is this guy Stanley Cup goalie?
I know. You think it's amazing they've won even one with him. And I know I saw someone said that they wouldn't be surprised if they try to move him because they can't keep wasting Crosby's prime like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, that's why I wouldn't be surprised if they blew up the coaching situation, because when you have Crosby and Malkin, you should be going to the Cup every year.
Yeah, and I just don't know. I mean, there's still a chance they might blow the series. So,
yep.
And when you think we have talent like that, it's just crazy to think that they would have this much trouble getting out of the first round. It shouldn't be like that. And meanwhile, Boston just keeps rolling along. They're just—they've really put together a good team up there.
Yeah, man. They're just—you know—they're the team that I would love the Caps to be.
Yeah, yeah. They
name players. They just play hard every game, and they get the job done.
Absolutely. So that should be them in Montreal. It should be a good second round series. So. Yeah, coming into this, I'm breathing a little bit easier because the Rangers managed to win Game 5 against the Flyers, which they have not. They've lost a couple Game 5s the last couple of years at home, so it's nice to see them pull that out. That's another nasty series. I feel like after every whistle, there's a scrum, and that's just, I think, just the way the Flyers play. It's kind of,
I hate them so much.
I do too. It's just tough to watch. Like, if the Rangers do move on, it's like I'm looking forward to them just being able to go back to playing hockey. So I think it was Boomer Esiason called it the Flyers think this is that movie Slapshot, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that's their MO, and it's been their MO for a while. So.
It has been, you know, and it's just, and I think at times it works, I know, because like the last couple of games, the Rangers, I feel like, have taken more penalties than they usually do because they just can't help but retaliate. It's tough not to get
frustrated, you know?
Yeah, it's tough not to get sucked into it. It takes a lot of discipline. Because you remember a couple of years ago when they played Pittsburgh? I mean, Pittsburgh's the most, like, laissez-faire, you know, just hands-off team. And even they got mixed up into it a few years back.
Oh, yeah. It was brawling.
Yeah, that's, you don't expect that. I mean, even Crosby was mixed up in it. So, but yeah, it's been a good first round. I mean, you know, two series, you know, were short, but the rest of them have been awesome. So,
I think you couldn't ask for a much better initial round playoff.
Yeah. And with the alignment this year, I kind of do like the fact that it's like a true bracket. Like, you know, who's playing who in the next round. There's no more of the reseeding and stuff. So
yep.
You can kind of, if you want to do like a bracket challenge now, you can really do it with hockey. So, yeah, it's been good. And I hope the rest of the series besides the Rangers, I hope they all go seven.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So, yeah, this is a great time of year for hockey. And I'm looking forward to seeing who all shakes down. I'm really cool if the Kings, you know, I have no allegiance to them, but it'd be cool if they could find a way to overcome that 3-0 deficit. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool. Is that game tonight?
That is a good question. I think I think they played last night, so probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah, probably not tonight.
Yeah, because which it's weird. Speaking of that, it's weird with the scheduling, because the Rangers and Flyers had 2 days off between a couple of their games. But if it does go 7, 6, and 7 are back-to-back nights. It's just ridiculous.
It is very weird.
I guess it just depends on who else is playing and, you know, the TV schedule and stuff like that. So
yeah.
So I guess they're trying to make an effort to make sure every game is on TV these days.
Yep.
So we shall see what happens. Also this week, speaking of other sports, we got the NFL released their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got some interesting stuff there. I know you got a chance to look at the Redskins. I know the Rams one is pretty brutal. I was wondering how you thought the Skins. I know they always have, you know, six tough games anyway because of their division, but how's the rest of it looking for them?
Theirs looks really brutal, too. It looks like we got your division this year, the West, the NFC West. So we play, you know, the Seahawks, San Fran, you guys. And I mean, you could argue that your division is one of the toughest ones in the league.
Yeah.
Right now. I mean, you guys are on the up, obviously. San Francisco and Seattle are amazing. And the Cardinals weren't half bad last year either. So they start the year off against the Patriots.
Oh.
Play the Ravens. I mean, the only cupcakes it looks like we have are the Browns and the Texans. And we got the Browns, Texans, and Jags, but then we got to play your division. And then, you know, like you said, we, you know, the NFC East has traditionally been, you know, a strong division. So the Giants should be better. The Cowboys are always hanging around. Yeah. And the Eagles got another year to get Chip Kelly to make the team even better. So it should be a tough year.
Yeah. It would behoove them to jump on those first two games against Houston and the Jags if they can just try to get off that 2-0 start. Because the next, I'm looking now, Philly, New York, Seattle, Arizona, Tennessee could be tough, Dallas. Yeah, so that's a tough stretch to start the season.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really tough.
Yeah, and then that's how they close up by. And then, and I'm looking at the tail end of it again. Yeah, San Fran, the Colts, that's the one team in that division that's good. The Rams and Skins always play a tough game. Giants, then they play close out against the division the last three games of the year.
So that's
tough. I was going to say, I'm sure you probably got some, you're kind of excited to see what Gruden can do for them this year, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has been like kind of like talk of like the next up and coming hottest coach. And
yeah,
I think they got him, might have got him a year earlier or sooner than everybody expected. But I'm good to get. I'm happy to get a young offensive minded coach. That's what we need. I think I'm more interested to see how RG3 handles the offseason, how he progresses.
Yeah.
And hopefully he can improve that accuracy, because if he can't start throwing the ball straighter and on target, we are in a world of hurt.
Yeah. And what about them getting Jackson this year? That should be, if things work out well, it should be a fun 1-2 punch they've got there.
Oh yeah, with Garcon, I mean, that's, we needed that guy. We needed the DeSean Jackson. Now, of course, the Redskins, the Redskins of old usually made big splashy pickups like this with questionable talent, but he's still young. In every interview that I've seen, he seems to be saying the right things.
That's good.
I don't know what was he linked to, like being a Blood or a Crypt or something.
There's some
know.
Yeah, some kind of gang ties or something.
Yeah, it's type of gang ties. But a lot of those guys grew up in the nicest neighborhood, and it's hard to shake your past sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So as long as he keeps on maturing and doesn't become a headache in the locker room. Obviously that's the big question. The talent's there, man. I'm super excited about him. I actually picked him up on my fantasy team.
Oh, nice.
Last year, because he was having such a great year. But he's super quick. He's that deep threat. That deep threat that we didn't have, you know. We got that. We got Hankerson. He's still a big slot guy, too. So I have him to kind of replace Moss. And then... And now we have a deep threat and Garcon, so I think we have a good core wide receiver now, and just that secondary is always still the issue. So we'll see what happens.
Nice, I got you. With the Rams, their schedule, like the Skins, is pretty tough in the middle of the season. They play, looking now, they got one stretch. They play 1, 2, 3, 4. Five out of 6 weeks they've got, in 6 weeks they play five playoff teams.
Yeah.
From last year, yeah. So I mean, it's just tough. I mean, like so they got, so obviously their division's tough. Then they have the NFC East, you know, so that's 10 tough games right there. And then they also got to play the AFC West, which means they got to play Denver and the Chargers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when I went through it at first, I think I pegged them. I said, you know, I think I'm looking at, sadly, I'm thinking 5-11, but, you never know. I mean, you look at the schedule, you know, what are we, you know, in April, and things can change between now and September, so you never know. But, yeah, first glance, when this schedule came out, man, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at their schedule, and to the right of my screen is their draft order, and, like, I'm still wondering if what they're going to do with the – they got the number 2 overall pick. I'm just really curious what that's going to turn into, if it's going to be traded or – they're going to use. I mean, I don't know. It's just fun to speculate.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. When's the draft again?
I think it's in a couple weeks, actually.
Yeah, I thought it was coming up soon.
So that's, I guess I haven't heard much about what they're planning to do. Because they have their pick, and the number two pick's actually the Skins, where they would have been picking.
Yeah.
So that's...
Good old RG3.
Yes. So I'm curious. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with that. But at first glance with the schedule, I'm like, man, this could be a long year. And
yeah, I mean, I'm not, after the horrible year we had, I'm not expecting much. You know, everyone was so jazzed up about the Redskins in the beginning of the season. I think I said that I wasn't expecting too much. It would be tough to pull off the same thing. But, you know, once the season starts, of course, everyone's going to be amped up. I'm going to be amped up.
You can't help but be, yeah.
You can't be help but be, especially when you've got, you know, the star power like the RG3, and it's just always fun to see what he's going to do and see if he can become the RG3 of old.
Yeah, you're right. Last year, I think people were jazzed up because they made the playoffs the year before.
Yeah.
But it's tough to repeat that, especially in that division. And I think teams are a little bit more ready for Griffin, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was still hurt, man, halfway through the season. I think towards even the end of the season, he's just still didn't look right. They needed to let him rest more. I think they made a mistake by playing him right away.
Yeah, I thought they rushed him a little bit, too. Yeah. Yeah,
so I think they should have gave him, Cousins could get the job done. Give him a shot. Give him six games and then let RG3 come back. And because look what happened, we played him in the beginning and what do we win, three games? Yeah. Four games?
Yep.
But now I'm used to that. Those are typical Redskins fans season, so hopefully they can turn it around eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing on the schedule, just in general, I think I heard that they're gonna start doing the flex schedule like week five this year, which I feel is kind of early. I feel like you can't
That's really, insane.
I feel like you can't tell totally who's the,
Yeah.
I mean, obviously sometimes you can tell on paper who's the good games, but I just feel like week five is just, I think that just seemed early to me to start flexing out of games a third of the way through the season.
Why don't they just handpick the games every week?
Yeah.
Start from week one. Just make the schedule every week.
Yeah. maybe, or don't even have a Sunday night game until
that's what it's moving towards. It seems like
it really is, I think so. And then before you know it, every week will be, they'll just like have no Sunday night game set. They'll just wait until like the Thursday before and say, all right, this is the best game, and just go from there. yeah, it's great.
It's amazing to think like the draft's gonna come, and it's always every year. Once the draft is over, then training starts, and next thing you know, it's kickoff on day one.
Yeah. Like I said, NFL has managed to make themselves pretty much a year-round thing.
Yeah, you never thought. I remember when they first launched that network, everyone's thinking, "What the hell are they gonna talk about on the off months?" But they somehow figured a way to spread it all out, and people can't get a drink enough of the Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I saw, like, when the schedule came out last week, the NFL Network, I think, had a three-hour show just dedicated to the schedule being released.
That's insane.
And I'm sure people were, tuned in, for the whole thing, because it's just, even though with the way it's set up now, you know who your opponents are going to be well in advance.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what order you're playing them in, so.
I'm sure that three-hour block of time beat a lot of mid-range, like, sitcoms on a Sunday night.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. NFL is definitely king.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's the draft is May 8th.
Sweet. So it's coming up soon.
Yeah, next Thursday. So that'll be fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then hit a little pop culture. Kind of Game of Thrones is a few weeks in, and we didn't get a chance to talk about the I think it's called the Purple Wedding.
Yeah, I think in the book it was actually called The Purple Wedding.
Okay, so yeah, so with them, I think to a lot of people's enjoyment, King Joffrey, he died. So what did you just think about that whole the whole scenario and episode and everything? Did it feel like it was coming to you, or did you feel like someone?
It kind of sucks, this day and age and social media and everything. You I didn't watch the second episode in real time. So neither did the next day, everyone's like, oh, it was a huge episode. Something big happened. So I knew somebody was going to die. Didn't think he would die that soon, but... I think one of the most hated characters ever created in television. I just hated watching him talk, and I just hated his character so much. So it was fun to watch him die and not knowing I don't have to deal with him anymore.
Yeah.
Tyrion was one of my favorite characters, though, and I think it really sucks how he got... They kind of, like, set him up for the fall.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. Because out of all the characters, I was like, he might have the potential to make it all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But as fast as they're killing off characters, I feel like he's eventually doomed too. So that's kind of like the fun thing I like to try to figure out is like, well, which one of these characters might make it all the way through.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah, so neither of us have read the series, so it's kind of fun to guess like that. And yeah, I had it kind of spoiled for me too because I didn't watch it live. I was watching Yankees Red Sox Sunday night game, so I was on Twitter kind of following the game comments and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, right around 10 o'clock, everyone's like, oh, you know, and you know, people say, oh my god, finally, and Joff, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, oh man, so
yeah.
So, but no one really mentioned how he died, so that still kind of kept it somewhat enjoyable for me to see, you know, how he died. I didn't expect him to be poisoned. I thought that, you know, he was actually gonna be sword or something like that. I didn't think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for a little while there, when I was watching, I thought he was going to kill Tyrion, and like he and Joffrey was going to live. But it was interesting.
So yeah, I have to give a lot of credit to the actor. I think his name is Jack Gleason, who played the Joffrey character. Because to make someone that hated a fictional character like that, it's a pretty good acting job.
Yeah, he did an amazing job. You know, an amazing job of making that character exactly who it seems like he should have been.
So yeah, so outside of that, have you enjoyed the first couple episodes so far?
Yeah, you know, my what I liked about this season is they actually, you know, started it off within two episodes, I had a big event happen, whereas, you know, we've talked about this. I felt like last season there was just way too much build-up. So maybe that's a good formula they have in the, you know, the seasons come. The first, you know, two, three, four episodes have a big event happen, and then you can build up towards the finale.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, they really did just kind of jump in feet first this year.
Yeah.
They didn't, like, wait. Because I think, like, last year at the Red Wedding, that was more closer to the midway point, or closer to the end, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was closer to the mid-end. And I just felt like it was, you know, the first three or four episodes were kind of boring.
Yes. This definitely was a different approach, which I like, too. Because now you have a whole season of reaction to it. Reaction to it, and then just... seeing how the rest of the characters kind of, you know, play their quote unquote, you know, the game or so to try to maneuver for the throne. So I think it definitely gives you more of a snowball effect.
Yeah, and this is a big one too, because now it just levels the entire playing field. Anything goes.
Yeah, because I feel kind of this might cripple the Lannisters a little bit.
Yep.
So yeah, so that's I've enjoyed the season so far too, as early in it as we are. And then also with our pop culture corner, speaking of HBO, Silicon Valley premiered, and I remember we were talking this, you know, at work, and you were mentioning, you said, from what you've seen, you were kind of on the fence, and you were going to give another episode or two. I was just curious what hadn't been working for you so far from what you've seen.
Yeah, you know, I kept on trying to think about it, and I think it is the lead character.
Yeah.
He is just so socially awkward.
Yes.
It's really uncomfortable to watch, and I don't like shows like that, and I think that's really... What is his name, Richard?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think his name is Richard, but yeah, the guy does such a good job of just being, you know, making him so socially awkward. I think that's what's throwing me off.
Yeah.
And then I was excited that, who's his sidekick?
Oh, Big Head?
Yeah. T.J. Miller, I think, is the actor. He's a comedian guy. I thought he would be great. I've seen him in a couple other movies, and he's always been pretty funny. But he's really not doing anything for me either. So I think.
I was confusing. I'm sorry. You're talking about T.J. Miller's character is the guy who owns the incubator.
Yeah,
Ehrlich. Yeah, I was thinking about his other buddy. Was the other kid? But yeah.
Oh, no, not his other buddy. I'm thinking about T.J. Miller. Ehrlich. Yeah. His character is there, to be the offbeat color comedian guy.
Yeah.
To kind of help tie it all together, but I just don't think his character is working for me yet either.
Yeah, I agree with you that I was expecting a little bit more from him.
Yeah, because he's been from other movies that I watch, I've probably been really good. But so you've got him; he's kind of lackluster combined with the extremely awkward lead character that's just kind of uncomfortable to watch at times.
Yeah,
I think that's what's doing it for me.
Yeah, because when you mentioned the socially awkward type, uncomfortable, it made me think of like Michael Scott in The Office, but. With that, like on this show, I feel like his awkwardness isn't necessarily supposed to be fun. Like on The Office, the uncomfortable scenes were supposed to be funny on The Office. Where,
absolutely,
yeah, we're here. I don't think it's not supposed to be that way. And so I can understand that. It does seem like the first episode, like him trying to go back and forth about whether to take the big payout or just take the small portion of money and keep his company. Yeah, just I don't know if it's. The actor, or just the role in general. I don't know if any actor would have trouble, kind of.
I don't think it's him as an actor. I mean, I think he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Portraying the character that has been written for him. I think it's just bad character development, I guess.
Yeah.
They're not handling the awkwardness in the right way. Whereas, like you said, you made a good point with Michael Scott in The Office. At least it was funny. This is just like. Totally uncomfortable, awkward to watch.
Yes, yeah. So,
you know, they're trying to be funny or, just missing the mark on it. And that's why I thought T.J. Miller's character was going to... That's why they introduced him, because he would be able to offset the awkwardness, but I don't think he's doing it yet.
Yeah, so... that's a good point. I wonder if... I think it's only 3 episodes in, so maybe as the show goes on and as they're kind of digging her hands more into the business aspect, that will change a little bit.
Yeah.
Or maybe he'll start to gain a little confidence as, as it goes on, as the, Pied Piper, it's a funny name, but the Pied Piper company starts to take off, maybe, yeah, he'll lose a little bit of that, and he'll meld into society a little bit better, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, no, that's definitely a fair take. Yeah, because I've only watched the first two, I didn't watch last week's yet, so maybe I'll do that this afternoon, but yeah, I think it's been okay so far. I think I haven't enjoyed it as much as I thought. I think maybe HBO kind of played like the best clips during the promos.
Yeah.
So I was assuming it would all be like that, but I definitely think it's definitely got promise, so I gotta catch up on that, and I also gotta catch up on, I think I'm 2 behind on Veep, which started, premiered at the same time as that, so.
Yeah, like Veep, I need to catch up on last season. But, yeah, it's, I mean, the Silicon Valley, I think, has potential to, I love the, I'm obsessed with entrepreneurship and tech and stuff like that, so I love the storyline. I just need to get a little better. Everyone told me this past episode, it starts to pick up, so.
Okay.
We'll keep, I'm going to give it a shot for the season, so.
Yeah.
We can keep updated throughout the season.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll definitely look up. Yeah. Cause I'm with you. I think that's what drew me in too, is just kind of like the whole startup aspect. Like I read Entrepreneur Magazine every month and stuff like that. So I just love that kind of a show about that. It seemed like right up my alley.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. And then as we close out, you mentioned before we came on, you did some brewing. So if you want to mention what you brewed is, we hit Mike's Beer Blast.
Yeah, I've had brewing equipment for way too long and not been utilizing it, so I decided yesterday that I'm just going to start brewing as much as I can, and I made wit beer and used wheat, like a light wheat malt extract, and then got some, so they call it a partial mash, is when... a real traditional brewery, full-blown brewery, you take like grains, malt in the beginning, and you steep that to get the break up the enzymes, get the sugars out of it, and then they call it wort, and they take that sugar water, you boil it up, add your hops, and then cool it down and let it ferment and turn it into beer once you add yeast. But when you don't have that equipment in your home brewing, they call it partial mash because grain expands in it. You need a pretty big kettle to do a ton of grain. So you do partial grain, and then the rest, they call it malt extract. So they've already condensed the malt down into sugar, and you just add it to the boiling water. So I used some malt extract, and then I did some Belgian malts and some biscuit malts, and brewed that all up, boiled that, and then I added some Mosaic and some New Zealand hops throughout the boil. And then at the end, I threw some coriander seeds and some tangerine peels in it. So I took forever to cool. I need better equipment, but the cooling process took forever. I was done at like 9 brewing, and I don't think I put the yeast into the beer till like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. It took forever to cool because you need to cool down the liquid to around 68 to 74 degrees, because if you pitch yeast in it, and that yeast eats the sugars and makes alcohol, if you pitch it while the temperature is too hot, then it kills it, and then you're never going to create beer. So I still pitching the yeast is literally putting yeast into the liquid. That's what they call it. But I still pitched it when it was pretty warm, so I think I hope we're okay. It was about like 78 degrees. It's really not bubbling much today, so I'm hoping in 24 hours it's going to start ripping and tearing and create an amazing beer, and I'll be able to borrow it, bring it in, and you can have one of my home brews.
Oh, man, I look forward to it. That sounds good to me.
So hopefully it'll turn out. I think it's going to be okay, so I'm going to keep an eye on it the next day or so. But it smelled delicious while I was cooking it.
Sweet. That sounds delicious. Well, it's been good, man. I'm glad we're able to get back on the horn, and we hadn't had a chance to do this in the last couple of weeks. So no, this was good. And as we get further in the spring, I look forward to continuing to break down the hockey playoffs and everything else that that comes up.
Yeah, man. I'm watching the St. Louis Chicago game right now. St. Louis tied it up, so
nice.
Looks like we're in for a battle for this game.
That's good. Yeah, I hope that goes. Hope they all go 7, besides the Ranger series.
Yeah, I hope so too. I'll be pulling for your boys because I hate Philly.
Oh yeah, I do too, and I'm hoping they can just. I would love it if they could close it out in Philadelphia and just send that crowd home sad. That'd be great.
Yeah, man.
That would be good. So thank you as always for listening. You can hit us up on Twitter at the GD Podcast or emails with questions or comments at the GD Podcast at gmail.com. For Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.